The night shift across Australia on the Triple M Radio Network, and Lloyd Edge is a buyer's agent and the founder of Oz Property Professionals, and Lloyd joins us now. G'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, Pat. Good to be with you.
That's good to be here. Now, you're a 47-year-old property expert. You purchased your first one-bedroom unit when you were 28 on a teacher's annual salary of $70,000. Now, today you own 18 properties worth an estimated $15 million, so you must be doing something right, Lloyd.
Yeah, I'm doing okay, but I made quite a few property mistakes along the way and bought a few properties that didn't perform so well. But over time, you sort of learn from those mistakes and know what to do better as you move forward.
Right. So learning from the mistakes, maybe that's the first tip we can give our listeners. We want to talk about, because let's be honest, you know, many people are losing the thought of maybe owning their own property with the all this with the Reserve Bank, the five hikes in a row. That's right, isn't it, Lloyd? There was five in a row of the interest rate. And it's getting harder and harder to purchase a property. But of course, it can be done. And you need to, firstly, to that question, learn from your mistakes, Lloyd.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it is getting a little bit harder for people with all those interest rate hikes. But when I first started, I was paying about 9-10% interest rate. So, you know, we're still in much better climate than we were then, I guess, from that perspective.
Right. Are we sooks then, Lloyd? Because you're right, it was down to like 0.1%, the cash rate. Now it's, you know, nudging about 3, I think. So it's not as bad as it has been in the past. Or is it a different context, a different setting now?
Yeah, it is a little bit of a different context, Pat, because, you know, the market is different. Property prices are, you know, very expensive these days, particularly in the capital cities. But then again, 20 years ago when I first started investing, we were also thinking that they were out of reach then. So it's an ongoing thing about property prices being higher. It's just about the about the strategies, using the right things to get into the market. For me, I guess one of the mistakes I certainly learnt from along the way was buying the right property. One of the mistakes I made was buying in a mining town, which didn't have any industries. And when that mining town, when the miners sort of left town, the boom collapsed, then the property values went back. So one of the best bits of advice I can offer people, particularly those that are buying an investment property, is to look for several pillars of growth in the area. So, you know, is there a retail, manufacturing, education, hospital, and lots of amenities? So they're the sort of areas that you need to buy your property in, so that you've got a much better chance of getting capital growth on your property.
Right, right. So really doing your research and, as you say, looking more than just one element, several pillars. What was that mining town, Lloyd? Was it in Western Australia? I started my radio career in the Pilbara.
Yeah, well, that's right. But this one was in Queensland, in central Queensland, in Blackwater. But certainly, yeah, there's a lot of that happening in the in Western Australia as well.
Yes. Okay. Some other strategies. Is rent vesting a good thing to do when you're looking at the great Australian dream and owning a property?
Yeah, so I really think that rent vesting is probably one of the ways that people can get into the market these days. And with the clients that I'm helping, a lot of people are doing that. So, and what that basically means is that rather than going in and trying to spend all your money on a home now, for the sake of where you need to live, which might be, say, in Sydney or in Melbourne, and it's too expensive to buy there, you can continue to rent there. So rent where you want to live, which is maybe in a nice location or close to work, and buy a cheaper investment property in an area that makes sense to invest based on all those pillars of growth we just spoke about, but it's also cheaper. So if you invest in some other states, some regional centres, and then that way you've also got cash flow coming from that property. So your tenants are actually paying, you know, for your mortgage and things, and you can claim everything on tax. That actually helps you to be able to set yourself up better in the future, because growth from those investment properties that you buy can help you get move forward, so that in the end you can help buy yourself a home later on.
Yep. And that rental property you talk about where you want to live, it might be in a suburb you prefer and you're buying somewhere else, might be smaller, you might be doing it tough for a little while, but just as you described, you're getting cash from those other properties. And at least, and also, Lloyd, I'm almost 50 and I was sort of a, you know, I don't know, wanted to get in the radio and those sorts of things. And I didn't think about property as a young man, but you're just getting into the game in a way. You're starting, you know, you said you started early and you made some mistakes. So, rent investing allows you to start. You're renting somewhere and find somewhere where you can afford it and bloody, you know, rent it out.
Absolutely, yeah. It does allow you to just get your foot on the ladder. Now, I started off living in a one-bedroom apartment, and then a little bit later on, I ended up living, in maybe a suburb I didn't really want to live in when I finally did buy a home, and then and worked my way up. But in terms of rent vesting, yeah, you do need to live in something a little bit smaller, but it's just getting a foot on the ladder and, you know, just having those goals in place and realizing where you want to be. And everything I do is very strategic these days. So understanding what your goal is and working towards that step by step. So growing your portfolio, buying smaller properties, and then building things up from there.
And what do you say to those listeners, Lloyd, who are saying, hang on, I've read the housing market will fall 10% and all these sorts of things, and Pat and Lloyd are on the radio telling me to buy a property. What do you say to them? Because I've recently had to make a little property purchase, and I think if the timing's right and you're happy with the price and you've got to make the move, you can't be sitting around trying to pick the bottom of the market. You've got to just sort of go with your circumstances.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Pat. I actually, my most recent book is actually called Buy Now. And the reason for that is I believe that it's not a matter of if you should be buying property now. It's about where you should buy and what sort of strategy you should employ. Because I don't think anyone has really made money or got ahead financially by sitting around and waiting and watching the markets. We saw that at the beginning of the pandemic, where everyone was sort of, they suggested there's going to be 40% falls in the market. So people were too scared to jump in. But those that did jump in ended up making a killing during the during the last couple of years. So, don't be too worried about interest rates and all that kind of stuff, because I think that if you're going to get in and buy a property, firstly, the markets have started to come down. So, you've got a better chance of getting a good deal on a property now than you might have 6 or 12 months ago. So that's good for people who are looking for a home. Now, if you're looking for investment property, then again, there's less competition to buy. Sellers are more reasonable with accepting offers. And advice and strategy there would be to try and get something that's got cash flow positive on it, so that so the rent's really covering all the outgoings on the property. And if the interest rates increase, you've sort of got that buffer built in. So that's a strategy that is working really well for myself at the moment and those clients I help.
Triple M's Night Shift across Australia. Pat Panetta filling in for Luke Boner. We're talking with Lloyd Edge, a buyer's agent and the founder of Oz Property Professionals, with a few tips on how you can get into the great Australian dream, because many people are feeling discouraged. But Lloyd says, give it a go with a few strategies. So that's rent vesting. Buying with family is also a way to do it, Lloyd.
Yeah, it can be, certainly, because sometimes if people have a smaller deposit, don't have the full 10 or 20% deposit you need, you might be able to combine it with family. Or maybe you've got a deposit, but you don't have enough borrowing capacity depending on your income or other debts. So you could combine with somebody else in the family who might be able to actually take on the loan, and you can do it together. I do advise people to be careful of that, and you would need to get a joint venture, that's a JV contract drawn up by a solicitor, so that everyone knows what they're actually getting themselves into, because it can be a little bit messy there. Certainly a way to get into the market, but you just need to be a bit careful about how you go about it.
Yeah, well, if you trust this family member and you need that deposit of, 10 or 20% is what you need if you're purchasing a home?
Yeah, absolutely. Usually 20% is what people would be looking for if you're purchasing a home. And you know, and as we know, if you're buying a property in Sydney or Melbourne, that can equate to a bit of money.
Yeah, I was going to say 20%.
It could be $200,000 or $300,000 at least.
Yeah, it could. But talk to your lender and see how you go. Also, so that's buying with family, but make sure you sort of think that through. Living frugally, you know, I like this one, and I pointed towards it earlier. If you need to sort of maybe suffer a little bit for the long-term gain, that's not necessarily a bad thing, Lloyd.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see it as suffering, but I just think that maybe just need to watch perhaps the amount of coffees you have every day. Because if you have a takeaway coffee every day, that could be $4.50 or $5 per coffee. Maybe you could have your coffee at home. Much Netflix subscriptions and Uber Eats and all that type of stuff do you have
right
at home?
Yes.
Maybe there are things that you
smashed,
could just
smashed avocado.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've all heard about the smashed avocado.
Yeah, Lloyd, what city? Where are you calling from? Where are you based?
I'm in Sydney.
I was in Melbourne the other day, and I bought an almond latte from an inner city sort of shop, and it was $7.50, Lloyd. $7.
That's ridiculous.
I never. Well, yeah, and I'm not making that up. It was $7 something. Yeah, I think they said I didn't. I was embarrassed to say anything, but somebody said to me they make their own almond milk or something. Who knows? But $7. Holy moly.
Melbourne does talk about having the greatest cafe scene in the country, but that's getting a bit ridiculous, yeah, I reckon.
It's a bit ridiculous. Also, so that's living frugally and, you know, maybe buying your own, making your own coffee and, you know, not having the smashed Evo.
Luke, I guess. Well, the other thing I was going to say is that, like for me, I didn't even have a credit card till I was 35. So when I was actually starting out, I was very careful about where I was spending my money. I didn't buy new cars. I bought, you know, secondhand cars. I didn't go on an overseas holiday until I actually bought my first home. So that may not sound like a lot of fun to some people, depending on how your savings are going and how much you really want to get into that home, there are ways that you really save up for that.
Yep. And it gives you some freedom. I'm finding that with my life, I've got three kids and a mortgage and different commitments there. But if I can be a little more low cost, I'm freer to do what I want to do, if you know what I mean. You're not sort of a slave to the next paycheck and you're able to make good investments and think clearly and, have a bit more freedom in your life. So there is a reward from living frugally, Lloyd.
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're looking long term and trying to set yourself up for the future, then there's definitely some great results to come. And if you if you build that portfolio that pays a bit of passive income, then you really can live a nice lifestyle later on where you're not so reliant on that paycheck look after your family. And everything.
Love the passive income. You could just go for coffees and put your feet up, and it's going into your bank account. Can we work that out?
That's right. All that frugal stuff at the start. You can get back at the later on when you can just put your feet up and start going to the coffee shops or having them just deliver coffee to you and all sorts of things.
That's right. Enjoy life. Now I want to get the weekend auction results, but what about these five golden rules for property investing, please, Lloyd?
Yeah, so the golden rules, I think we sort of covered a bit earlier in terms of, location, so making sure that your property's very well located amongst amenities and things like that. Yep. I always look for government infrastructure, how much the government's spending on money, on investment in the area.
Yep.
And then I look for, is there a hospital planned or maybe a hospital upgrade? I also make sure that when I'm buying, I don't buy in flood zones or flight paths, and I always buy in school catchment zones. So those sort of things will actually help your investment property grow better over time, I think.
Yes.
The other thing that's very important is when you buy an investment property, to buy it in an area that's predominantly driven by owner-occupiers. So I like the ratio of 70% owner-occupier versus 30% investor, because if you buy in areas that are driven by investors, then you're actually probably not going to get the best tenants, and they're the sort of suburbs that create a bit of a bubble and are likely to burst a little bit more down the track.
I see. So you've got to take the emotion out of it too, as I hear you say all that, by looking into hospitals nearby, the amenities, checking out that owner-investor sort of ratio, because you can sort of start to get the emotions, I want to live there, and you've got to really think more with your head and less with your heart when making a big purchase like this, do you think, Lloyd?
Absolutely, yeah. Look, you're not going to be living there, so it's really about the numbers. You just got to buy a suitable property that is suitable for the demographic, the right sort of tenant in that area to live there. But you've got to take the emotion right out of it. Just make sure the numbers stack up, and that if it appears to be a good property, the suburbs perform well in the past, there's plenty of infrastructure planned for the future, then you've got a pretty good chance of success from that perspective.
Triple M's Night Shift. Lloyd Edge is a buyer's agent and the founder of Oz Property Professionals. Here's a few tips on how you can get into the housing market, especially if you're a first home buyer. Securing good finance, knowing the exact costs, understanding the location you mentioned, and buy where there is room for development, and follow the leader, not the herd, Lloyd.
Yeah, that's right. So in terms of developing, I love doing things like that. So I look for a block that has the potential to develop. So you might either be able to, in the future, knock that house down and build, say, a duplex or a triplex on it, or you might be able to subdivide the property and build another house or duplex at the back of it. So you're actually adding value and creating equity by creating extra blocks there.
Oh.
I also love the concept of buying something that you can put a granny flat on the back, because that'll then turn it into dual income and really good cash flow.
Right.
So that's really good. And in terms of being the leader, what you want to do is you want to go into areas that you feel are going to perform very well. Don't follow just where everyone else is going, because quite often, most of the time,
too late.
If you want Yeah, that's right. If you want the same results as everyone else, then just do what everyone else is doing.
Yep.
And you want to do something better than that. So once you've heard about an area and people are going there, then it's too late. You need to really be on top of that and be ahead of things.
Yep.
And that's kind of what I do every day in terms of trying to research
that's
the best areas.
And you're an expert, of course, so you can see the signs. But I guess for the average person, do your research, maybe use a bit of gut instinct and be the leader. Because as you say that, somebody like me, Lloyd, you know, you're right, I hear about it and it's too late. You're an expert and you can see the signs. But the average person can also be a leader and have the courage to think, oh, hang on, I reckon I'm ahead of the curve here. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think studying, you know, government websites and studying what's happening in a region. And I mean, I even like the fact that I might be driving in a country town and then there's like a new Bunnings and a new McDonald's have popped up. And
right,
I just think,
right.
Hey, I wonder what's going on here. So you can actually do some research into maybe population growth in a suburb that hasn't been reported yet. If you see it reported in the media or on, you know, in a property investment magazine, it's too late because that's got a lag time on that data. So really try to get ahead when you're looking at that kind of stuff.
Lloyd, it's Monday morning. Of course, the weekend auctions happened. We're into spring. Around the nation, I don't think the weather was too flash, so I don't know if the weather sort of keeps people away. But how are the clearance rates and the auction results over the weekend?
Yeah, so clearance rates are tracking fairly similar to where they were the last couple of weeks. So Sydney had 62% clearance rate, where this time last year it was 80%. Melbourne had 63% clearance rate yesterday, 68% this time last year. Brisbane had a 56% clearance rate, so that's gone down a little bit from where it was last week. Adelaide had a 77% clearance rate, which is pretty consistent with the 78% they had last week. Sorry, Adelaide had an 83% clearance rate this time last year, so Adelaide market's still fairly strong there. Canberra had a 51% clearance rate this weekend, but this time last year they had a 100% clearance rate, so that market is dipping down a little bit. Perth's very interesting because we talk about Perth every week, but Perth had 0% clearance rate this week, so no properties were sold at auction.
Right.
There were actually only 5 properties presented at auction in Perth, and all of them got passed in, so none of them have been sold.
So what's going on there, Lloyd?
Well, the Perth market's is struggling a little bit, and you know the market's starting to come back a little bit. I guess auction clearance rates aren't a true sense of the whole data of what's sold in terms of properties because, I've spoken about the last couple of weeks, Sydney and Melbourne, and to a lesser extent Brisbane, are the main capitals that really have a lot of auctions. Like Perth only had 5 properties going for auction, but they happened to get passed in. So there's obviously vendors still wanting a bit of a premium, and buyers not willing to pay that. They're willing to just, you know, let things go by, see what happens, and then they'll probably negotiate on the property this week.
Different market, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And Tasmania only had 1 property up for sale by auction yesterday in Hobart, and it sold. So that means that clearance rates is 100%. But that doesn't tell you much about what the overall market's doing. But in terms of clearance rates, that's where it is at the moment.
Okay. Well, always appreciate your time. And I know you're a big part of the program, and I'm filling in for Luke, so it's nice to meet and have a chat. And thank you for those tips. I'm sure you've passed on some good advice to our listeners. And we'll catch you next time on The Night Shift. Lloyd Edge, a buyer's agent and the founder of Oz Property Professionals. Thanks, Lloyd.
Great. Thanks so much, Pat.